Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Welcome to Radio Free Redoubt. All of you lovers of liberty out there, patriots, redoubters, preppers, it is great to have you with us again. This is episode 1411, and I am John Jacob Schmidt, your host. To all of you in free America, in the free zones, and for those of you outside the wire, God bless all of you, and God bless the redoubts. Okay. Boy, do we've got some stuff going on tonight. We've got several things that I want to cover with you, and we are going to get right down to it. We have lots of information to share with you, some thoughts of mine. Hopefully we can give you some inspiration, some encouragement, and help to unify the patriots and bring all of us together toward a common goal, and that is to preserve Americanism, everything that we value, our heritage, our beliefs, our values. And so that's what we are doing here tonight. Don't forget to check out our new website, completely dedicated to communications for the prepper, for the patriot, for the redoubter, amron.com, the American Redoubt Radio Operators Network. That's amron.com, and that is a website dedicated to helping partisans develop communication skills so that we can stay connected in a down situation, no matter what it might be. And if you have not joined, I want to encourage you to do that. You can do that. It's free. It's safe. It's anonymous, and we take OPSEC very seriously. Just send an email titled, I'm a Redoubter. Actually, that will already come that way. If you go to our join page, codename Polly01 did a great job. She found a plugin for the websites, both websites, that is basically an autofill plugin. So you just put in your information in there, your call sign. If you don't have one, we can assign you one. And the basic information there, general location, and send that in, and it comes complete. It's really helped to make things efficient because we were really getting behind because membership is going crazy. We are processing more than we ever have. I have no idea how many members we have now between redoubters and then those redoubters, members of the ARN, the American Redoubt Network, who've decided to contribute in another way, and that is to add as communications relays or radio operators. And so that's really good stuff. We're going to talk more about that tonight. We've got a lot of things that are coming up that we will be announcing. It's got some good announcements. Got a surprise visitor tonight. And also, don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/radiofreeredoubt. And you know what? Also, I want to make a quick announcement. I had, for some reason, I got to figure out how to overcome this because our Radio Free Redoubt Facebook thing, I'm not a big social media person. We've got partisans that help maintain that. And then, of course, when people make comments or ask questions, then I'll address those. Or I'll suggest some stuff. Hey, let's get this picture posted. Let's link to this article. Let's, stuff like that. But, we have partisan volunteers, God bless them, doing the heavy lifting on that over there. And also with Twitter as well. Also, hey, let's shoot this announcement out. Let's tweet this. And I have it where I can, directly do it, but I'm just too busy. And, so anyway, I just want to let you know that you can follow us over there. There was something I was going to say on that, and it's escaping me because I did not write down a note to myself. But tonight, like I said, we got a special treat. We got a surprise guest with an announcement most of you have not heard about yet. And we're going to talk about Venezuela. We have been following the situation in Ukraine and the situation in Syria, but you're not hearing hardly anything about what's going on in Venezuela. That is because they have a media blackout and they do not want you to know what's going on inside of that country. So we posted an article, and we also have some follow-up listeners. I put out an email this week to the members. We don't have an email list. Sometimes people say, yeah, put me on your email list. No, I don't have an email list. What we have is a membership, and it's free, and it's anonymous, and it's safe. And if you want to become a member, those are the only ones that I put that I send emails out to. And so even at that, I don't put out a lot of emails, hardly ever. And actually, I probably should do that more frequently, and I will start doing that. But I know that I get a lot of emails. Many of you get emails, and they just kind of come from all directions. And so I try to be sensitive to that. But I do want to also, the reason why we have you on our email list is so we can keep you informed on things develop. So I am going to be covering the Venezuela situation briefly, and then I want to talk about some of the communicators who have risked it all, because a large segment of you have volunteered to also be communicators. And some of you also look forward to, you anticipate tuning in and listening to the communicators of the American Redoubt Radio Operators Network, and nationwide, actually a continental network of communicators, to be able to tune in for information, share information, and link up with others of like mind in a down situation. But there was an article that I posted over at Amron.com titled Last Voice from Kuwait. A listener, thank you very much, by the way, for sending this in. And it was a documentary, it's a video posting, actually, of the ham operator in Kuwait City who risked his life, literally, to be able to put information out and intelligence reports. And also, I'm drawing a blank. Let you know that your family's okay. Welfare reports out so that their loved ones outside of Kuwait could know that they are alive and they're well and so on. Pretty neat. Now, there is an event coming up that I wanted to announce before we get into the news and commentary. April 19th. You guys know that date, right? It is our date. It is the day that we eagerly anticipate. This year, it happens to be the day before Easter, which is the day that our Lord conquered death. He's alive and well today. But there's another reason why this April 19th is important, because it is also the day that our country came alive. It's the day that the Revolutionary War began, April 19th, with the shot heard around the world. And April 18th was the date that Paul Revere rode through the night along with several other horsemen, warning the Patriots and rousting a militia army of 6,000 Patriots. Pretty amazing. But there's going to be a Second Amendment rally in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, in Kootenai County at the fairgrounds on April 19th, Saturday. There are going to be many speakers there. Of course, it wouldn't be April 19th without Appleseed, and Appleseed will have a speaker there and a booth and information for you to learn more about our heritage and what started it all, so we can remember. They're very strong pro-Second Amendment organization, and I've been to one of the Appleseed shoots, and I achieved rifleman, and so did Mrs. Schmidt. It was a great time with the whole family there. There will be some pro-Constitution legislators speaking. Enola Gay's daughter is on the docket to be able to get up there and speak, be able to hear from her. And Stuart Rhodes from Oath Keepers will also be speaking. And Radio Free Redoubt will be live broadcasting, simulcasting on location from that venue. So If you are not in the American Redoubt and you wish to tune in somewhere in a different part of free America, or if you are in occupied territory and you want to tune in and get some encouragement and listen to some of the speeches and commentary and coverage of that brought to you exclusively by Radio Free Redoubt, then you'll be able to do that on April 19th. More information is forthcoming. Let's get right into the news. News and commentary. Stories that could affect you as patriots, as Americans concerned about your country and the direction that it is headed, and other events that are taking place in the world. I trust that you are not high on your opiate of March Madness, that you're actually paying attention to something that matters, like your heritage being stripped away, like everything that you value being robbed, while people are drunk on basketball. Amazing. I don't get it. Okay. News and commentary sponsored by Glenn Tate and the 299 Days book series about the collapse and the rebuilding. And, of course, books 1 through 7 are out already. You can learn more, and there's a lot more going on there, and you can read all about that at 299days.com. That's 299days.com. Now, you guys heard, Russia. An Obama aide says possible that Russia could enter Ukraine. You think? Well, they've only got 60,000 troops lined up along the border there. But, it is, it's getting really, really tense over there. Don't go to sleep on this. It seems like the dust has kind of settled. Oh, there's no news. Not really much going on. People stopped paying attention to it. In a week, people started looking away. Now, you need to look around, have your head on a swivel, and you need to have good situational awareness, because things are happening in the world as fast as you can keep up with it. And Israel just pulled all of their ambassadors from their embassies, their dignitaries. They're saying that it's because of a strike, like a labor union strike. But that just doesn't seem right. Never in the history of the country have they vacated all of their embassies for a strike. And they're not completely vacated. I mean, they pulled all their dignitaries out of there because of a labor dispute. Does that sound right? Does that sound like something that Israel would do? Or does it seem like something else is going on? So, very interesting what's happening in the world. And what's going on? We're going to talk a little bit more about this in just a minute. I'm going to come back to this article because there's some other information too about, matter of fact, let's just get into it right now. There's an article over at IntelliHub.com stating that Putin could win World War III without firing a shot. And what we have is a power play with natural resources. Most of Europe gets a huge portion of its fuel, its natural gas, and its oil from Russia. The petrodollar is basically the only thing keeping the dollar artificially propped up. Now, the NATO and the European Union are decrying what Putin's doing because he's going to have a stranglehold on the energy going into Europe, which they are greatly dependent on, which a huge portion comes from the Crimea region, which now Putin owns. And also Eastern Ukraine. Well, the Russians are claiming that they're not going to go into Ukraine, but they've also have thousands and thousands of troops lined up along that border. And lo and behold, protests just broke out this week, yesterday and Friday, of a group of people that are trying to petition for Eastern Ukraine to break off and join Russia. These are Russian-speaking, Russian heritage citizens living in Eastern Ukraine. So they could obviously, even though they say they're not going in, they could use that pretext. Well, there's Russian citizens there and their lives are in danger. We have to go in and protect them. And so then Russians come waltzing right on in. And then they own all of the natural resources, virtually all of the natural resources coming out of Ukraine that the rest of Europe depends on. Why does this affect us? Because the European countries are claiming that they're with the United States, or at least they're opposed to Putin. But when it comes down to making deals behind closed doors, talking about energy, this will be a good test of where their loyalties really lie. And so this is going to be something to watch very closely, because things are about ready to come unraveled. We've been talking about this for a long time. And so don't take your eyes off of this. Watch very closely. So there is a lot of analysts out there that are saying that the petrodollar, the World Bank, the International Monetary Fund are all about ready to take a huge punch to the gut, which would essentially collapse the dollar, and it would bring on this collapse, the domino effect of economic followed by social followed by political collapse, or at least a partial collapse in the United States. And since all of this looks to be deliberate in the first place, I would not be surprised if the leftist globalists that are running our country into the ground are going to scream victim, because they love being the victim. Meanwhile, they were part of setting us all up for this. So why does what's going on over there in Ukraine affect us? Well, it affects us directly. The impact will definitely be felt by all Americans. And as patriots, we should be preparing very quickly, because things are changing very rapidly. Okay, let's get back home to the United States. There was an email that was put out by the Oath Keepers. You guys remember we covered this last week with the EP Armory getting raided. And there was an article that was written, and Stuart Rhodes interviewed the owner with the Ares Armor. They raided the armory based on a determination letter that had been deemed 80% polymer product to be a firearm. And so the determination letter that the BATF-E used to obtain warrants against the EP Armory is based on incorrect information about the manufacturing process. And so they're trying to use a technicality to go in there, and not so much did they really they wanted the lower receivers that were only 80% completed for AR-15s. What they were really after was the customer list. And, of course, he refused. But what they did was they ended up violating their own restraining order, went to the judge who got her to basically nullify it and go back in and retrieve this list. Well, this article here at Oath Keepers, if you're a member of Oath Keepers, you can get on their email list where you're sent these updates. And it's the owner of this business makes a very, very strong case that the ATF knowingly conducted this illegal raid. They knew that these parts were in compliance, and they conducted the raid anyway. And what they're after is these lists of customers. So there will be a lot of stuff that's going to come out of that, a lot of litigation. And the Oath Keepers are backing this veteran-owned business and getting the truth out. So you can learn more by going over to oathkeepers.org. And they're going to be putting out some continuing coverage of that. Of course, you know, Governor Andrew Cuomo from New York says he doesn't think that conservatives belong in New York. And he's right. They belong in the redoubts in free America, not in New Europe. But Remington, why they held out this long, I have no idea. Remington Arms, the world's largest gun manufacturer, one of the largest, they will be working with Alabama. They're going to be taking 2,000 jobs and their business, and they are moving to Alabama. Most of the jobs will be relocated from New York and the New York plant. And the initial investment on Alabama's part will be $87 million. So they're offering some huge incentives for Remington to move out of New Europe into the Deep South and right along the edge of the Appalachian, greater Appalachian redoubt, which actually Alabama is not really, that part is not in the Appalachian redoubt, but it's the greater Appalachian area. Okay, what else here? Oh, did you guys hear about this poor kid? 18 years old, legally an adult, went to jail for 13 days over a pocket knife that he kept in his car EMT kit. Well, a patriotic high school senior who says he only wants to serve his country and his community has had his life thrown into shambles because of an Ashtabula County, Ohio, Nervous Nellies. This is what the article reads. His name is Jordan Weiser. He's 18 years old. He is a graduate of numerous law enforcement courses and a student at a vocational technical school. He was arrested in December for having a 4-inch pocket knife in the EMT kit in his car. He was charged with a class 5 felony. He spent the next 13 days in jail. He was expelled from school, dismissed from his homeschooling program, discharged from Future Soldiers by the Army, and held on $500,000 bail. And he was also, when it was discovered that his grandparents have firearms in the home, he was given a restraining order. He couldn't even come within 500 feet of his grandparents' place, and his grandfather's dying because he has a folding knife in the EMT kit in his car. So we've lost all reason. We've lost all common sense in this country. This is sad. And the prosecutor says, hey, we're not going to reduce the charges. There's a huge petition, a push to get the charges reduced to a misdemeanor. And the prosecutor says, no, this is solid. We're sticking with the felony. We're not going to reduce the charges. What a bunch of enemies to Americanism. Absolutely incredible. Well, kind of along those lines, there is a middle school assignment on the Second Amendment. And in their curriculum, it basically gives you the impression that the Second Amendment requires gun registration. This is a story brought also by IntelliHub. In the Second Amendment portion of the Bill of Rights part of this curriculum, it says the Second Amendment, right to bear arms, this amendment states that people have the right to certain weapons, so there's a limitation right there, providing that they register them and not have been in prison. The Second Amendment doesn't say that. Matter of fact, the Second Amendment doesn't say anything about ever having been in prison. And of course, as far as I'm concerned, once you do your time and you get out, you should have your rights restored. And if you shouldn't have your rights restored, you shouldn't be out. That's the way I see it anyway. It says, under the Second Amendment, the Founding Fathers included this amendment to prevent the United States from acting like the British, who had tried to take weapons away from the colonists. Wow. It doesn't say anything about the tyranny that was being perpetuated by the British. But this is the kind of garbage that they're trying to teach our kids. In the American Redoubt, last week I had mentioned that in the state of Idaho, they have a governor who has basically turned out to be a rhino, a Republican in name only. He doesn't hold to the Republican Party, their platform. He has supported Common Core. He has supported Obamacare or the state alternative. Well, he's getting a run for his money because the elections are coming up, and there is a gentleman, Senator Russ Fulcher, who is coming onto the scene as a strong, hardcore patriot. And now, I have to say, this week, Governor Otter signed an emergency legislation to nullify federal gun laws in the state of Idaho. Can you believe that? This was a piece of legislation to nullify federal gun laws in Idaho. So any further gun restrictions are null and void. The state cannot, will not enforce federal gun laws. So that's a step in the right direction. They should repeal all federal gun laws because they don't apply inside the state of Idaho or any state inside the American Redoubt, in my humble opinion. But why did he pass this? It's not consistent with his rhino voting record, but hey, it's election season, right? So he wants to be able to go out and say, I'm pro-gun. And they're probably going to try to paint Russ Fulcher, Senator Russ Fulcher, his opponent in the May elections as being anti-gun. Why? Because last week, Senator Russ Fulcher voted against, or voted to keep a bill exempting lawmakers from having to have a CCW. And there, of course, there's a lot of outrage about this. Whoa, this guy's a patriot, hardcore patriot, and he's saying that he doesn't have to have a CCW like the rest of us. Well, this was some great concern. We did, Radio Free Redoubt, put in a request to do an interview with him so that he could clarify the situation. And his office did not respond to our request for an interview. However, on his podcast or his on his Facebook account, he basically cleared it up. And this was brought to my attention, thank you very much, by a listener. Mark, thank you for sending this in. And this this listener lives outside the American Redoubt, and he's saying, we have to support our patriots. This guy is my representative, even though I don't live there yet. Please support him. Get behind him. He's a Second Amendment, pro-Second Amendment. Here's his Facebook post. Well, I went and checked out Russ Fulcher, his Facebook, and sure enough, he addressed it head on. He said that he, let me read it for you. I am a liberty-minded person and a proud supporter of the Second Amendment. Over the years, government has taken away the rights of Idahoans to carry a concealed firearm. I believe all law-abiding citizens, Idahoans, should have the ability to carry concealed without regulation from the government, both elected officials and citizens. Our focus needs to be on expanding liberties, not restricting them. So, basically, he cleared it up. In my mind, he plans on fighting for Second Amendment rights. And why would you vote to restrict yourself if you are trying to make the statement that everybody should be able to carry freely because of the Second Amendment? We will hope to see him fight to change this. Over in the state of Idaho, you can carry openly, not a problem. But if you carry concealed, you must have a concealed weapons permit, which is, what, $45, $55 for 5 years. And if you get an enhanced concealed weapons permit, that would allow you to carry on school campuses and some other places. Plus, it would allow reciprocity with other states who would they have certain requirements for training, firearms training, and so on. And this meets that requirement. And so I don't have a problem with a concealed weapons permit if someone wants to get one, if you want to travel to another state. However, carrying concealed should not require a concealed weapons permit at all. The Second Amendment is your permit. If you can carry it openly, why can't you carry it concealed? But so there shouldn't even be the necessity for concealed weapons permits, except for on a voluntary basis, if you want to go to another state that might have more restrictive laws. But this guy, Russ Fulcher, he is a patriot. He is also fighting very strongly to oppose the Obamacare and Common Core. And also he's really pushing for eliminating the sales tax on food items. And so that would be a great thing to see, but I'd also like to see them add to it. Not only eliminating sales tax on food, but on self-reliance items like garden seeds, solar panels, gardening tools, greenhouses. Those kind of things, this should be, it should be an encouragement for people to become more and more self-reliant. And I would like to see them remove sales tax to encourage people to invest in those areas as well. Okay, that's pretty much it. We're going to go ahead and let Fox 519 bring you his report from this week on Eye on the Economy. But before I do that, there is a letter from a listener that was sent in actually to me, and I just forwarded it on to him. I think he's going to address this directly to this listener, but Fox 519 just sent me an email just a little bit ago saying, could you please, here's the question. Listening to Fox 519 this week, I was wondering if IRA annuities are in danger also. Thanks for your reply. I listen every Sunday. Great to have you with us. Dale, thank you so much. And this is what Fox says. He emailed me back and said, let Dale know that nothing is safe, especially annuities. They are held in a stock portfolio. Nothing is sacred at this point. Gold, silver, and lead are still the best. And so there you have it from our own Fox 519. Stay away from the annuities, dump them, transfer them into hard assets that you can put your hands on. And I would even add to food or any other tangible investment at this point, because things are about ready to get kind of crazy in the world. So with that, I'll let Fox 519 get right into Eye on the Economy. And when we come back, we have a little surprise guest. So stay right there. This is the voice of the American Readout.
I've said it before, and I'll say it again. If your money isn't in your hands or in gold and silver, it isn't yours. And now they're trying to take it all away from you. No matter what country you live in, here or Russia, the attack on your financial security is here. And tonight I have some major, major financial news that will affect all of us in the readout immediately. Stay tuned, because this is Sunday, March 23rd, and I am Fox 519, bringing you the news that matters to your pocketbook as patriots and preppers. This is Eye in the Economy, brought to you by Radio Free Readout. Welcome back. Well, imagine if you would for a moment, you head down to your local Winco, Albertsons, Fred Meyer, or Costco, and you load up your groceries and head to the checkout line, only to find that they no longer accept Visa and MasterCard. That is exactly what's happening in Russia at this exact moment. This week, Reuters is reporting that Visa and MasterCard have both cut off service to seven major banks in Russia. So what, some of you are saying? Well, as you're aware, Visa and MasterCard control approximately 91% of all debit and credit transactions in the world. Only JCB and ChinaPay and a host of smaller processors control the flow of money through the others. Here's the thing. If you hit people in those countries in the pocketbook and make their money worth nothing, guess what? Their elected officials get really ticked and then complain. And now those voices are going to start be reaching Comrade Putin. This has to be one of the stupidest moves by our president. Sure, shut off Visa and MasterCard. That'll hurt for a short time. But Russia has already threatened to leave the SWIFT money system and start their own. They're threatening to leave the dollar for good. In my opinion, this move will only put off what we know is coming soon. Russia will sell the rest of the U.S. holdings, and China will join them, and the dollar will die. I hope you're all ready. And normally I'd bring you a second and third story for Eye on the Economy, but what I'm about to tell you is so big and so traumatic that it's quite possibly could really change life in the readout as we know it. Here it is. Your paper money in your wallet is no longer going to be honored by the Fed. Yes, I said that right, and I'll tell you why. This week, the Fed began eliminating the currency in order to push us into a cashless society. How do you know this, you ask? Well, I was part of a meeting at the bank that I work at in the readout. It was an operations meeting, and I was told this in person and in a memo. The new regulation takes place when your bank ships money from their vault to a central processor like Loomis Fargo or Garda. This new regulation states that if a bill is heavily creased, wrinkled, soiled, or stained, or thought to contain bodily waste, it can and will be rejected by the Fed and sent back to the cash processor, being Loomis Fargo or Garda. Then it's shipped back to your bank. Well, what happens when it's shipped to the bank? Well, nothing. Your bank or credit union is going to take the loss, and the Fed gets to write off an IOU known as the currency off its books. Now, how does that affect us in the readout? I'll tell you. I'm going to tell you with a story. Let's imagine, if you would, your son or daughter has been given $20 from from grandma or grandpa from his or her stash at their home for doing some yard work or working in the garden. Yeah, the $20 bill, you know, it's a little old, it's a little wrinkled, maybe some creases, maybe a bit faded. Maybe it's been because they've kept it in a coffee can or somewhere that's, not the most ideal conditions. But hey, it's money nevertheless, right? So you take your little one down to the local savings and loan or to the credit union or whatever, and they walk up to the counter and hand the bill to the teller and they say, I'd like to deposit this. Then the teller says this, I'm sorry, little Bobby or Susie, I can't take that money. It's unfit. I can't touch it. Here's an envelope and a special baggie along with a letter. You can send it back to the Federal Reserve Bank and they'll exchange it for a new bill. You can't believe your ears. You're flabbergasted. You ask the parent, say, can't I just exchange this for another bill? No. I'm sorry, the teller says. We don't take unfit currency anymore. It's up to you to handle it. It's just a Fed and bank policy. Yes, my friends in the readout, that is happening right now. And it's going to be affecting banks all across the readout immediately. This is how central banks prepare themselves for currency collapse. They stopped accepting their own currency. Sure, if a dollar or $20 has blood, mold, or other nasty, quote, stuff on it, it should be handled in a special way. And yes, nobody should have to touch that. But that's what rubber gloves are for, right? But now that the definition is of unfit currency has been changed to include heavily wrinkled, creased, or faded, banks can and do have the right to reject that currency. Now, let me ask you a question. What would happen if the stores have stop accepting cash because their bank deposits are being returned back to them due to the fact that they're unfit currency? Well, they will probably demand that you use your debit or credit card. And remember, just like in Russia, those can be shut off at a moment's notice. Imagine this. Russia and China sell their holdings, the debit and credit card system goes down, the dollar dies, there you go. I'm telling you, readout, things are going to get bad very quickly, and I'm sure the banks may or may not make the choice officially to begin rejecting currency on those basis, but I'm going to tell you, my bank is. I'm not going to tell you which one, but I'm just telling you, my bank is. Just like I said in the past, if you don't hold your cash in your hand, if it's not gold or silver, it isn't yours. You've got to prepare yourself accordingly for this. Finally, my advice to you this week is twofold. If you have old currency in a stash at your house, get it changed out this week at your bank. Do it subtly. Don't go in there announcing that they're going to be rejecting currencies. Many banks' tellers don't know this yet. It's the truth. I heard it from the horse's mouth this week. But like I said before, many countries have just, before collapse, have demanded their citizens use only new currency. And finally, get outside. With the amazing weather we've been having in the readout, now is the time to prep your garden space for your food independence. Sure, don't plant yet. It's still too cold. But when your dollars are no longer accepted because they're, quote, unfit, you will still have a way to make sure your family is fed. Thanks again for listening this week. And for Eye on the Economy and Radio Free Readout, this is Fox 519 signing off. God bless.
Right, we're back. Welcome, Patriots. This is the John Jacob Schmidt Show, and this is segment 2 of episode 14-11. On this beautiful, what a gorgeous day. I got so behind because I was doing some stuff outside because it's so beautiful and sunny, and I just did not want to be inside. And so I'd really had to scramble to get everything together in time for the show. But it was, man, it's beautiful. Spring is on the way. Snow is melting off, and it's great. I'm loving it. Everything's turning green in the American Redoubt, and summertime's coming. Some summertime. This segment is sponsored by AMP 3 Medical. They are right now in the middle of medical and preparedness. That's the, USN ER doc, Dave. Great supporter, great patriot, very knowledgeable, and man, he produces some great YouTube videos. Very, very informative. I'm a regular fan. They right now are at Prepper Fest in Arizona. You guys heard me talking about that for the last couple of weeks. And of course, he's teaching suturing classes and so on. Well, they have a friend who they ran into and met from over the course of doing several of these preparedness type of expos, and developed a friendship with a lady who is also a vendor who travels to a lot of these shows. Dave gave me a call this last week. It was, man, I think it was Wednesday, and said, believe what just happened. We just got a phone call from this lady who called us, who just went through a checkpoint in New Mexico on her way to the Prepper Fest in Arizona. And apparently they were diverting traffic off the highway, off the freeway, and then they were separating the 18-wheelers from passenger cars and other traffic. And it was Border Patrol. They asked what she was carrying. And then they asked her, this guy asked her, are you on your way to the Prepper Fest? Which stunned her. She's like, why would he even think to ask that? And so anyway, I asked Dave, I said, well, what did she say? Why did she ask him why he would ask that? Well, anyway, he didn't know anymore. So I've been texting this lady back and forth, and I was hoping to get her on the air for this weekend for this show, but it just didn't work out. I mean, they're doing a Prepper Fest and they're just slammed. It's absolute chaos trying to run one of those shows and get everything set up and everything. So she's pretty much out of the loop for this weekend, but I'm going to try to follow up with her this week so we can arrange to have her and get her side of the story and get more information to get to the bottom of this next week. And why would they ask? Why would they ask this stuff in another state away? Are you going to are they sharing information? Do they have registered vendors? She said she counted like, I think 23 cameras all around this checkpoint area that they had set up. So did they have license plate recognition cameras? Did they know who she was? I almost got the impression that they knew who she was the way that they were interacting with her. So we're going to, I just want to wait till we get the facts from her, straight from her, but very interesting development. We have a little surprise treat for you. We have author Glenn Tate from 299 Days book series on the line right now, because you guys that have been following this, and some of you have been asking about this, what's the secret? What's going on with 299 Days? What's the big announcement? Well, I was sworn to secrecy, and I didn't want him sicking the team on me. So I thought, well, let's just hear it straight from the source. So, and now it's time. It's time to make an announcement of some things that are coming up real soon here. And so, Glenn, hey, thanks for being with us and giving us the inside scoop.
Oh, you bet. Thanks for having me on. Love it. I listen every Monday morning, download Radio Free Readout, listen to it Monday morning, and if there's a hiccup in your production schedule, I go through withdrawal. So, yeah, it's a show I love.
Heard that before. Yeah, we had a couple hiccups a couple weeks ago, but we got through it. And but, you know, this is real exciting, what's going on with your book. It's really picking up momentum and really taking off. So, but there's some new developments, and let's talk about that, because I just got an exclusive sneak peek preview at something that was very, very cool. And do you want to announce that or talk about that now?
Yeah, you bet. The big announcement is we're going to make a movie if we can raise the money. And so that's what the big announcement is. We have a campaign going on right now until April 1st at 299days.com, where we're doing pre-sales of DVDs and Blu-rays to raise some money to make a movie, a 2-hour feature-length movie. After that, starting on April 2nd, then until May 2nd, we will have a Kickstarter campaign. And Kickstarter is this really great way that you can fund projects. It's been used for tens of thousands of short films and albums and all kinds of projects. You pledge money and you get something, depending on how much you pledge. It might be a sticker or it might be, you know, a role in the movie, you know, everything from $1 to $10,000. And it helps fund the project. Plus, you know, you get something too for it. And so that'll be from April 2nd to May 2nd, as I said. And we're trying to raise the money to do a 2-hour feature length movie. I have an extremely rare commodity on my team, and that would be a Hollywood producer who is not a communist. I know. That's very, very rare. It took a long time.
Did I hear that right?
Yes, exactly. No, about a year or two ago, I put out the word when the book first went out to the prepper community, patriot community, I guess. And I said, hey, on the off chance that these books really take off, does anybody know a Hollywood person? Because I think most Hollywood people are dirtbags, so it needs to be somebody from our community. And I would say surprisingly, but of course, providentially is a better word, a person in our community who's been active on the Survival Podcast Forum, for example, since 2009, so it's hard to fake that, right? I mean, all the posts are date stamped, so we know that this is a legitimate person who's been doing this for a while.
Yep.
I got a hold of him, and I let him know right off the bat that my perception of Hollywood people is pretty low, so I was hoping that he wasn't like all the Hollywood people that I think are out there. And he laughed, and over the next probably year and a half, we've gotten to know each other very, very well. He's one of us, patriot, prepper, all that kind of stuff, and he actually has a lot of experience making, to be honest, lower-budget TV movies. This is not, you know, a multi-million-dollar production. It'll still be very good, I think, but we don't have a ton of money because we're not going to go to Hollywood and expect them to fund it because they'll rewrite everything.
Yes.
A really critical thing about all this is I own the copyright and the movie rights, and this movie will be the message of the book, period. I have absolute and total control over the message of this movie, and that's the only thing I've insisted on throughout this. I don't care who plays what roles. I don't care where it's filmed. I leave all that up to the professionals.
Right.
When it comes to the message will not turn into some Hollywood thing that we'll all be embarrassed about. So I'm not selling the movie rights for that reason. So we're working with this Hollywood producer, and that we've put together the funding campaign I mentioned. By the way, with the DVD pre-sales and the Kickstarter campaigns, people pledge money, and if the project funds, if we meet our funding goal, then people's credit cards get charged. Nobody pays anything if the movie won't be made because that would be dishonest. showing DVDs of a movie that does not exist is not exactly Christian behavior. So
right. Okay, so this is a call. This is a call to the Patriot, Redoubter, Prepper community for people to help get this out there as a movie. And so that we don't have to be owned by the banksters, the bankrollers in Hollywood, to do this independently among our community. And so what they're going to do is pledge between now and April 1st. They're going to pledge a certain amount. No, they'll pre-purchase a DVD or a Blu-ray version of it. That's first step. And I just want to make sure I understand this right, so the listeners can get it too. April 2nd is when the kickoff actually starts, and that's where they can pledge any amount to help fund this to turn it into a movie. And then by, May 1st, if you hit the goal, then it will be either green light or red light, and they won't be charged or they will. Is that
correct? Exactly right. It'll be May 2nd, but that's how soon we'll know. And you raise a really important point. I mean, if we want to do this, we have to do this on our own because we can't count on Hollywood. And, you know, we're preppers and patriots. We're self-reliant, right? We do stuff on our own. We don't wait for Hollywood or the federal government to do something. And so if people want a movie that they can give to their relatives, or they can give to their neighbors, or they can let somebody borrow who's maybe on the fence. And this is so frustrating out there. I don't have anything that I can give people that's a description of what we're all about, where we're rational and we're commonsensical. I mean, there are the books, but I mean, who has time to read books? Not everyone can read books.
Right.
And so there's something about a movie. You can reach a lot more people, and people who aren't even necessarily thinking about patriot or prepper issues can all of a sudden say, yeah, I'll watch a movie. What the heck? You know, it's two hours of my time. And they'll watch this movie, and because it's going to be based on books 1 and 2, I think a lot of people will be persuaded, or at least at a bare minimum, people who watch this movie will say, you know, those preppers and patriots are not the weirdos that, you know, the media portrays them to be. I think we're going to get a lot of converts this way. A lot of people will start prepping. Some people who are prepping will prep harder. And I think I'm trying not to be dramatic or exaggerate, but I really think if this movie's made, it's going to save a bunch of lives, because a bunch of people will do what they kind of know they need to do. But when they see it on a screen, you know, a picture's worth a thousand words.
Yeah.
And we're going to be able to communicate a lot more visually. And I mentioned this is the first movie. If we get the first movie made, we would like to make movies 2 and 3, which will be the other parts of the book.
Sure.
But, you know, one movie at a time, I think, is a pretty good goal. So, you know, we're self-reliant. We do stuff on our own. Let's do this. There's a lot of people in our community who are working hard and supporting this and getting their audiences, much like you are, you know, notified about this and then encouraging them to get out and do it. So think about this, you know, Christmas 2014 or maybe 2015, wouldn't it be nice to have a movie that you could refer people to and have our accurate message be out there in a persuasive, entertaining way?
Yeah.
So that's what's at stake, and that's why we're doing this, is to get the message out, because no one else will unless we do it.
No, I agree. And, you know, anytime you can get somebody to start thinking about this and start the conversation, where a guy can sit down with his wife and say, you know, they can watch it together and then discuss it afterward and saying, you know, what would we do? You know, how long do you think? Because I've seen this happen where they're introduced to some type of medium that gets them started to talk about this. And they look at each other and say, how much food do you think we have in the pantry? How long could we survive on what we have? And then it starts from there. So I think it's a great tool. And I agree that the visual medium is really powerful, and it's something that people can make time for. So I think it's great. And of course, I love the books. And talking about reading, I mean, you know how busy I am. I'm still stuck on book 4, and it just drives me nuts. I almost feel like I need to go back and reread it so I can, before I read book 5, just kind of get myself back in the groove. I got a stack of books that I keep promising myself I'm going to read, but I could sit down and watch a movie. So I want to support this. I want to get
By the way, we
it.
Have audiobooks coming out too, but that's a whole separate thing we can talk about some other time.
Yeah, not a problem. Okay, so how do they go and pre-order their DVD or Blu-ray now? And then where can they go? Oh, this video. The general public has not seen this video announcing the Kickstarter, correct?
Yeah, and the Kickstarter video you're referring to will be up on the Kickstarter website starting April 2nd. And you can get to all of this by going to 299days.com, or after April 2nd, when the Kickstarter campaign is going on, you can go to Kickstarter.com and type in 299days and go there. And you've seen this 9-minute video. And you can describe anything about it. I mean, it's still a secret, but you know, you can describe what you saw, because I'm curious what your reaction to it is.
Well, it was a positive reaction. Mrs. Schmidt and I sat there watching it we were smiling the whole time. It was just really great. We're just excited. We're like, right on, go for it. You know, and it was also good to see, because I know that, you know, when you were, you and I met, you know, you showed me pictures of the team. And so when I saw them on the video, it was like I knew them already, you know, because, you know, I've talked about them so much. And of course, they're in the books. And then seeing pictures of them, and then seeing, there was just a connection there for me. And it really makes all these people come to life. And I think that the readers will get that too, and really make that connection. And I also think that the message that Jack Spirko, you know, from the Survival Podcast, really put out there, and this is what I really agree with, that and what you said, this is a self-sufficient community. We need to be self-reliant. We don't need to rely on Hollywood money or people like that. We should be able to do this ourselves. We should be doing a lot more ourselves without outside assistance. But this would be a great example of that. And it was just good to see the guys in there, especially the Patriot leadership that are, you know, the legislators that are familiar with this as well. And these guys really are true patriots. I know them personally, and they really are fighting the good fight. And they do see a collapse coming, as if not highly likely, then inevitable. And they see the need to be planning now for responding to and rebuilding and restoring Americanism after a total or partial collapse. They're looking at this as an opportunity to reassert Americanism. And so it was good to see that those guys involved as well. I was impressed really with what everyone had to say. And I think it really paints a good picture of what we can expect to see coming out of this movie.
So. Yeah, I agree. It turned out really, really well. And I think one of the things that you noted from the video, and people will note after April 2nd when they can watch it, is really well put together. And that's because this is a real Hollywood, as I say, it's a Hollywood movie without the Hollywood politics.
Right.
And it's going to be really well made. You can't do this. This is not amateur hour. I mean, you can't have your cousin holding a camcorder up and say, we're going to make a movie, because it's just going to be terrible. And so you can tell from the quality, the production quality of this thing, that it's really good. And it's going to be a preview, of what's coming. I mean, people will watch this movie and it's a real movie. I mean, it's a for real movie. We have to fund it. I keep saying the movie, but you know, it has to be funded.
Yes.
And then it'll be real and it'll be entertaining and it's going to be great. And by the way, you know, open casting call for Patriots, who can act. You got to be able to act, because this wouldn't be a very good movie if I just had all my friends show up and not do well. But
yeah.
We'd love to have you, by the way. So if there's a role, you know, maybe background role, or if you can act, then, you know, welcome aboard. It'd be great. I think if this movie's made, there are going to be all kinds of cameos and background shots of all kinds of people in our community. I mean, I think the set of this movie is going to be like a reunion of all of us. We're going to get together and in some cases meet each other face to face for the first time. It's going to be a festive setting on that set. And so I think that just the act of making this movie is going to be fantastic to get our community even stronger.
Yeah, I agree. And that is happening. There's not too many in the Patriot community, at least in the Western United States, who haven't met each other or know, or at least know of each other, have the same vision. But most of us are all connected with each other in one form, fashion or another. And a lot of us are friends. And, so, you know, I don't think there's going to be any problems, you know, with trying to get the Patriots to catch the vision too. And I don't want to mislead the listeners either. This 9-minute video that's coming up that you'll be able to see in April, it's not a little sliver of the movie. It's just interviews with other Patriots and members of the team, and Glenn Tate, Jack Spirko, a couple representatives from Washington State that are talking about the concept of this movie and pleading for the support of the Patriot community to make this happen. So it's not really a small 9-minute segment of the movie that's coming up on April 2nd.
No, very good point. We don't have any segments yet. And we hope to, and I hope that people can pledge some money. You know, if you pledged $100, for example, I believe the reward for that is a signed movie poster, that kind of thing. I mean, we're trying to involve people who help out this project, and maybe a thank you, your name on a thank you list that scrolls at the end of the movie.
Yes.
We thought of that, you know, background roles, speaking parts, spending time on the set, all kinds of things to make this, you know, this experience. My goal would be if we were shooting this, that people would be able to bring their families on a vacation and come down to the set and hang out, and we could meet everybody. And it's just that kind of thing.
Yeah. A couple questions on that. First of all, where's the casting call going to be? Did you determine that yet? Cause I know you and I were talking about that, back in January when you were visiting with us. You didn't know
where
exactly
will it be
where
shot?
That,
yeah.
Well, it's going to be in Washington, right? Where it's going to be set.
We don't know. That's kind of up in the air. A good bet would be, unfortunately, Southern California, but some parts of it will be shot, I presume, up here in Western Washington. perhaps at the real cabin even, because it's the best location because it's all real. That's the thing. The books are all real. It's about real people and real places and real events. And
so where's the casting
real,
call?
As they say.
Okay, where's the casting call going to be? You're saying that might be in California?
Yeah, the majority of it might be made in California. Still don't know. And if the movie funds and we've made some of these decisions, we'll get the word out probably on your show, as a matter of fact, in the future about how people can be part of this. And we're gonna put a lot of organizational effort into making it possible for people to be part of it. I mean, even if they're, you know, electricians or something, and we need some people on the set that can do that.
Sure.
All kinds of roles and get people involved that way. And that's unusual. I mean, that's not really the way most movies are made. Most movies are made to make a bunch of money and go on to the next one and sell advertising and that kind of stuff. Well, this is way bigger than that.
Yeah. There's a mission behind it. It's a cause. So good stuff.
Yes.
All right. Well, Glenn, we're looking forward to it, and I'm looking forward to the listeners being able to, be able to share the video that I just got to see, and it was that was a real treat, and I'm really looking forward to this project, and I know I will definitely be supporting it, so I want to see it happen.
Well, thank you.
All right,
thank
sir.
You so much, and thanks to your listeners too.
You bet. All right, to all of our Radio Free Readout partisans and 299 Days fans. You can support by going to 299days.com and pre-order your DVD or Blu-ray. And then on April 2nd, you can watch the Kickstarter video and then pledge to support that, to make that into a full-blown Patriot 299 Days movie. So really exciting. Good stuff. Glenn, thanks for having us thanks for coming on with us this evening. Always a pleasure.
Thank you so much, John. Thank you.
All right. Have a great night and a blessed week.
I've often heard atheists and so-called progressives argue that the founders weren't Christians and that this was never a Christian nation. They like to say that men like Benjamin Franklin and Thomas Jefferson were deists. Well, so what if they were deists? Being a deist simply means that God doesn't interfere with the affairs of men. But after seeing God's hand in the making of their newly won nation, they gave God full credit. In a letter to William Strahan in 1784, Benjamin Franklin said this, "My dear friend, do not imagine that I am vain enough to ascribe our success," he was speaking about the Revolution, "to any superiority on their part. If it had not been for the justice of our cause and the consequent interposition of Providence in which we had faith, we must have been ruined. If I had ever before been an atheist, I should now have been convinced of the being and government of a deity." And Thomas Jefferson wrote this, "Of all the systems of morality, ancient or modern, which have come under my observation, none appears to me so pure as that of Jesus. I am a real Christian, that is to say, a disciple of the doctrines of Jesus." Don't believe the lies of the revisionist historians. They'll deceive you every time if you don't know the truth. I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
We are eternally grateful to all our heroes, past and present, who have sworn to protect and defend our nation and our Constitution. Thank you for keeping your word. Thank you, Oath Keepers.
Please remember to support local businesses whenever you have a choice, especially support Patriot-owned businesses. This will strengthen the American Readout. Look for businesses that advertise in conservative publications or in church or Christian business directories. Of course, we all need accountability, so don't neglect to check references and get competing bids when appropriate.
Welcome to segment 3 on Radio Free Readout. If you guys want to send ideas, suggestions, ask questions, correspondence can be sent to johnjacob@radiofreeredoubt.com. And if you're on the go and you are not in front of a computer listening, then you can always visit us at www.radiofreeredoubt.com to learn more about what we stand for and then how you can get involved, because this is a team sport, being a patriot. And this segment is sponsored by KatieArmor.com, none other. These guys are great patriots. It is a business based in Michigan, patriot owned. They have a relocation to the American Redoubt on the radar. And they've got a lot of stuff going on logistically, business growth, and everything else. So it will not be a small undertaking, but they are working diligently toward that. They build and sell, they build the plates. And now, as of a few months ago, they added the anti-spall protection, the spray coating on it. And they were so gracious to me. They've just been so good to Radio Free Redoubt. They just sent me a body armor carrier, the Coyote Brown plate carrier system with, you know, all the MOLLE attachments. And I have a set of KD armor plates, but they're not coated. They offered, I need to send those off. I meant to do that this week, but I got a little busy. I need to send those off. And they offered to coat those with the anti-spall coating for free. And so just great people, but they've been really helpful in keeping us on the air, and they donated a full set of body armor that we gave away right before Christmas. And so, yeah, support those guys. They're great. You can learn more about their products. They sell plate carriers, magazine pouches, medic pouches, dump pouches, all the accessories, MOLLE attachments for the plate carriers, for the whole plate system, front, back, and sides. Great. Great product. KDArmor.com is where you want to go to learn more about that. Oh, and also, if you want to order something but you don't want to do it over the internet, give them a call. Give them a call or contact them by email and say, I'd like to make other arrangements. I really don't want this to be an internet-based transaction. Let them know. They will work with you. Venezuela. You guys know what's going on there? The place is a mess. There's an article, though, that was written by someone who is a survivalblog.com follower, and James Rawls had this posted. It's a great article about all the different components of the society and the situation, the boots-on-the-ground situation there. This is a guy who's married to a Venezuelan and has family down there in Venezuela. So information is kind of seeping out, leaking out, but there's not really a solid flow of information because they have a media blackout there. Well, this guy was able to report on what's going on down there. And there's something that jumped out at me. This was sent to me by a listener. I missed this article. And so thank you very much for sending it. This guy in the article writes, in this one section on communications, he writes, lack of communication causes panic and rumors. As the communications are shut down, that means not going down like on their own. They're being shut down. We are seeing that a sense of panic is growing. Lack of information leads to panic. Oh, you can get information, all right, but it's going to come from the state, and they're going to tell you exactly what they want you to hear. This is why it is, he continues, this is why it is growing difficult to differentiate between rumors and fact. That's because the government's controlling the information. Information is as vital at this point as food and water. Calm leadership is needed to keep everyone from panicking or shutting down. But listen to this part, AMRON operators. He writes, it would have been wonderful if they had prepared a radio network that was interstate rather than just within small, cloistered groups. Those of you with ham equipment will be hailed as heroes should this situation come to a theater near you. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in just a moment, because you might be hailed as a hero to people who are starving for information, but there are some people that are not going to think of you as a hero. You are going to be their adversary, and they are going to hunt you. Now, I've had several reports come in from listeners about what's going on in Venezuela who have family members down there. And this is some of the information that's coming out of there. While some people are eating their buffalo wings and watching March Madness, there's some bad stuff going on. This is a report. This is basically translated from by a listener who has family down there right now, who are being able to sneak out information through one means, method, or another. In this case, this family member says reports that food is very, very scarce in Venezuela. While Chavez was alive, 80% of all food there was imported. After he died, the new thugs reduced the imports to starve the people as advised by the Castros and keep them occupied and worried about that rather than what's really going on. See, their country is being stolen. On the political side, nobody's going to pay attention when they are starving and when they're hungry. So if you starve them, they're more focused on standing in line for a bowl of soup or scrambling for crumbs somewhere. As the politics just takes a back seat to everything. And that's how you steal a country. It's one of the ways. The crime and murders spiked to keep people terrified. Schools were raided with new and strict regulations to teach specifics about the revolution and Cuba's history of their revolution and their, quote, success, indoctrinating further the young population. Importation of medical supplies and medicines were halted. Well, actually, they probably weren't halted. They just were not being distributed because you know the elitists are getting theirs. As well as paper for print and sanitary use. Tampons and other feminine supplies were banned, and people are using cloth rags and other stuff to wipe with because they can't get toilet paper. The Taliban are taking notice of these modern reversals of history to justify their current ways with women. Taliban is being trained down in Venezuela. Now, that's a credible piece of information. Why? Because we have heard that from several other unrelated sources. When you have multiple information sources that are unrelated to one another reporting the same thing, it goes up and up on the credibility and reliability scale as far as the accuracy of that information. Food is virtually gone. Freedom has been gone by now for a lot of years, but because it was slowly taken, like here in the United States, people adjusted on a daily basis to reduce liberties and are now without any. Now, there is now in Venezuela one Cuban soldier serving next to each Venezuelan soldier. Cuba, standing right next to each Venezuelan soldier, uniformed as Venezuelan soldiers, but with a small insignia on their hat or their shirt to identify them, as you may have been able to see on many of the photos currently tweeted. The insignia is small but identifiable. At the end of his letter to her, he writes, in a previous letter, he's in contact with a friend of ours, a doctor in Barcelona, Venezuela, a few hours west of Caracas, who speaks of having recently had 600 people brought to his ER. 70% of them were dead, shot execution style to the head. All had been tortured. Again, absolutely no medical supplies. We are trying to get this doctor up here, but have lost contact with him. Still working on it, though. Also, here are some of the comments. Let's see here. He's in after posting this letter on a blog, I went over to a member of my ward, also from Venezuela. He's in daily contact with family down there. Here are his comments. This is from another person, another source now. They freed the prisoners and they are now in the streets. Prisoners now released on the streets, supporting the government that just freed them. That's been done a few times in history. Willing to do whatever it takes to stay free. Well, that's pretty good incentive. Once I became aware that the missionaries still in the Ukraine are told only to stay in their apartments, I asked if Venezuelan saints are doing the same. He said it doesn't matter. The government, military, and the police just break into people's homes and take them away to jail. No restrictions on breaking in and abducting people. Inflation is about 50 times. A child's soccer ball is the American equivalent of $1,200. Shoes are running 13 million bolivars. Well, that's about $1,300 in U.S. dollars. No one can afford shoes at that price. There's no medical care. If you have to go to the hospital, you have to bring all that you need from food, medicine, bandages, and on. There are no beds left. People are lined up on the floors to sleep in the hospitals. There's no milk, rice, oil, corn, main staples, or anything else for that matter. From my cousin's letter above, you can see that it's purposeful to starve them out to take their minds off what's going on in the country. She's referring to the previous letter that I just read you, her synopsis, her translation of it. And so this is a second source of information here. Two different sources of information come to this listener, because they have family in Venezuela, forwarding the information to me. So you're getting this right here exclusively on Radio Free Readout, because you will not find this anywhere else. People are doing anything they can about to get out of the country. They line up at the airport to get tickets for anywhere, Japan, India, anywhere. The country's full of Chinese, Russian, and Cuban soldiers. They're all fighting over the petrol. No TV, no public radio. I've been trying to find out how many have been killed recently and haven't been able to. Reuters said 28, but a doctor friend of mine has had about 450 dead, tortured, and shot execution style come into his own ER in a smaller city west of Caracas. So the 28 number is way off. But apparently this data cannot get out. Apparently the government is blocking any reporting of deaths. Pretty amazing stuff, isn't it? Anyway, they're going to continue to try to get more information and get it sent in to us. Now, for our ham operators, our Amron operators, I would ask that if you would you try to scan the amateur radio bands and make contact with any operators in Venezuela who are trying to get information out and get accurate, up-to-date reports, especially if we can get the information from multiple sources to corroborate that. I would appreciate that. If you can send reports into me and keep me updated so we can keep people updated and keep the information flowing coming out of Venezuela. So there's another article. There's a couple of things that I want to follow up with on this. There are people that are counting on information flowing. The panic goes up. The misinformation from the oppressive regimes is out of control. People need, they count on accurate, up-to-date information and truth, not skewed information coming from the government. The Amron operators, your mission is to get truth and get information and get intelligence and keep leadership and people in the Patriot community connected no matter what it takes. We're going to talk a little bit about that, because they might not look at you as a hero. It could be dangerous to get that information. It has historically. So we're going to talk about that and some of the things that we can do to deal with that. By the way, last weekend we had a winner from a Baofeng radio. We put out a embedded message encoded within My Country Tis of Thee by Pat Boone, backed up by the MT-63 Symphony and Juliet 5-9er. You were the winner of that. And I just want to let you know, you've got a brand new Baofeng radio in the box on the way right now. You should be getting it possibly tomorrow, maybe Tuesday. So Baofeng inbound to the Texas Redoubt from the American Redoubt. This is the voice of the American Redoubt. Stay right there.
Help keep a watchful eye out for tyranny and the police state. If you see something, say something.
Psalm 91, 1 through 6 says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday." Again, that was Psalm 91, 1 through 6. Sometimes, when we're faced with perilous and difficult circumstances, we need to be reminded to turn to God for strength and comfort, just as David did. May you be comforted by these scriptures as you meditate on them. I would challenge you to read it for yourself and ask God to help apply His word to your life today and throughout the week ahead. You are tuned in to Radio Free Redoubt.
Hi, this is Evelyn with a communication tip in a minute from Radio Free Redoubt. An Amron volunteer relay is the valuable link between different types of communications. Someone with an FRS radio, for example, can't hear valuable information being transmitted by someone else on a CB radio. The relay is that link, with at least two separate types of radios. The most effective Amron relay volunteers are those who can link ham operators with non-ham operators. If you're a relay, you should set a goal to have, at a minimum, a receiver capable of monitoring HF, which is high frequency, also known as shortwave, or a scanner for monitoring UHF and VHF traffic. This has been a public service announcement to support the CH3 Project and Amron, the American Readout Radio Operators Network.
This is segment 4 on Radio Free Readout, and I want to close this out by talking about the importance of some communications because, well, before I go any further, this segment is sponsored by Revolutionary Realty. If you guys are looking for property in the American Readout, then, of course, we have a couple of great realtors in the area that handle, actually, they are mostly focused on the panhandle of Idaho. And they work together really well. But Revolutionary Realty is the sponsor of Segment 4, making this possible for us to keep getting the message out. Let's talk about communications. As you know, the time changed. On April 1st, according to the SOI, the Signal Operating Instructions, we will be changing from 80-meter nets to 40-meter nets. So make sure you use the 40-meter frequencies, because it is just better for this time of year with the number of daylight hours and so on. So 40 meters, check your SOI, make sure you're up to speed, and learn more about participating in and monitoring Amron nets, which go on the first and third weeks of each month. Wednesday night is digital, and Thursday night is voice. We got local nets that are standing up all across the country, and they are, many of them are just coming online now. Some of them have started their very first nets and they're off to a great start, while others are in the planning process. If you want to start a local 2-meter CH3 net in your area, then we want to encourage you to do that, and we will have information out there. If you're brand new to Amron, you're not really sure where to get started, you can go to the Amron.com website, and there's a PDF there under the resources tab, how to get started as an Amron operator. Step-by-step instructions, codename Polly01 did a great job putting that whole thing together, and that will really help answer a lot of questions. Okay. I posted an article about, well, when we posted this article about the Venezuela situation and how the writer there on that survival blog posting talked about how great it would be if there was a communications network that was interstate and not just local, because there's a lot of groups out there that have local communications networks, CB radios, FRS, but they really don't have nationwide networks that are not government involved, like Aries, Racy's groups. There's some really great organizations out there. The Salvation Army, nets, also known as Saturn, Salvation Army, something emergency radio network. Oh, what does the T stand for? It's escaping me right now. We also put a posting up at Amron.com titled "The Last Voice from Kuwait." It was an amateur radio operator who risked his life and his family's life to keep intelligence flowing out of Kuwait, so that the Allied forces could be informed, as well as family members who were outside of Kuwait wondering if their family members are still alive. And he was able to send out welfare reports on family members, letting them know that they're alive. There have been several cases as well, though, because ham operators were banned. All amateur radio equipment was banned and confiscated in Kuwait City. When this happened, they came knocking on his door eventually because he's got a big old antenna up on top of his building and everything else. They knew that they were toast. But what he did was he gave him some older radio equipment, sacrificed that, and after they left, he pulled out his real stuff and he continued to transmit. And he did this undetected to the end of the war. It was an amazing thing. I don't think you could get away with that today. The technology has changed and radio direction finding has changed. You're going to have to, he was doing this out of his apartment with his family right there. You need to start thinking differently. There have been several other cases where ham communications were used successfully. Codename Popeye also posted a link underneath that posting about the last voice out of Kuwait with the link to monitoringtimes.com, where there was an amateur radio operator who was smuggling out information over the airwaves about the situation on the ground during the Grenada invasion. There's a full story on that that is just amazing. There's another story about the Poland crisis with the USSR, the Soviet Union, in 1981. A couple of weeks ago, we had a guest, Lesik, was on with us talking about that from his perspective inside Poland during the martial law. And he had been a ham operator, and they came and they confiscated all their amateur radio equipment. Well, there was one ham operator in Poland who was secretly transmitting information. There's a full CIA report breaking down the situation on the ground there. It was recently declassified as of 2007. It was a weekly summary classified as secret. And in there, they talked about pro-government radio stations. These are pro-Polish government radio stations suggesting to the signal units of the army and amateur radio operators, suggesting they jam the signals of the occupying forces. In this case, it was the Soviets. And in those cases, they did, even though the ham operators and the amateur radio equipment was banned. There's a lot to that story, and it's really cool. And I want to encourage you to go and read that. Matter of fact, I think what I'm going to do is put up a separate posting just for resistance when radio was banned and put some of these resources that I found, because we're kind of coming to the end of our time. But I want to read to you some of the suggestions that I put out in response to this article in Venezuela about the author saying it would be nice if they would have formed communications networks before that were not just local, but interstate. I wrote a letter in the email to all the members, and so I'll just read a portion of it. To the communicators, become proficient with your communications equipment right now. Don't wait for an Elmer or the next AMRON meeting in your area. Internet search PDFs for every piece of COMO gear that you have, download it and print hard copies. Watch YouTube videos and read tutorials on every piece of equipment you own. Take ownership of it to the level that you can teach others. Don't sit there and wait for someone else to teach you. You need to be proactive and take it upon yourself. Quickly develop a plan to power that equipment in a grid down situation, whether it's solar panels, whether it's backup batteries, whether it's whatever it is, generator. Join an existing AMRON net in your area and practice. If you don't have an active AMRON net in your local area, start one. There's lots of resources at AMRON.com. Develop a parallel communications plan with AMRON nets adjacent to yours in the next town, county, state, and region. Expect the nationwide AMRON net to be compromised or disrupted at some point in the future, especially if a hostile government is controlling communications. They will enforce a monopoly on information. So, what you do, and this, let me stop right there. Several people have emailed me saying, what about GMRS? How come you seem to ignore that? Hey, what about 6 meter? Hey, what about 15 meter? What about the other ham bands? What about the business bands, VHF and UHF? What about this mode and that mode? And how come we don't? This is another really good one. Okay. First of all, you can complicate signal operating instructions to the point where it's so heavy and cumbersome, it's not even, you can't even use it. We need to keep it as absolutely as simple as possible. If you want, we left a lot of room open. Okay, that is a nationalized, standardized plan that's used all over the northern continent, North American continent. We encourage you to use GMRS or 6 meters or 15 meters, 17 meters, 11 meters, 10 meters, whatever it is, these other bands and other modes, and you develop those parallel to AMRON. So if AMRON, the nets, 20, 40, and 80-meter nets, 2-meter nets become disrupted, jammed, blocked, whatever, then you can still function because you're operating outside of the AMRON. You coordinate with your other AMRON operators. And then what you do is you coordinate so that all of you are in agreement as far as your own band plan, so you can still continue to function. This is what you do, though. You take it a step farther by coordinating with those AMRON groups surrounding you that are adjacent to you. So they know that you're using GMRS, and you know that they are using 6-meter, and so you guys can still coordinate with one another through a couple of liaisons. Not everybody has to know of the next adjacent group's entire communications plan. You use AMRON as long as it's there, but then AMRON operators also start their own independent communications plan separate from AMRON. And so you can still communicate. And that way, groups adjacent to one another can still send information. And this is all compartmentalized. So if one part is compromised, the entire thing is not compromised. And by the time the entire thing does become compromised, you'll have time to react. Make sense? Okay. Let's see here. Develop communications outside of AMRON plans, such as full power GMRS, business band, marine band, and others. HF capable communicators. Begin developing a 6-meter, 11-meter, 10-meter, 160-meter capabilities. All communicators, develop your digital communications. There's a lot more coming on that. Portability is a must. Configure your station so that you can grab and go in minutes. Prepare and test your ability to communicate outside the environment of your home permanent base station. At least be able to quickly move your equipment off-site. In nearly every martial law case in recent history, ham radio equipment was deemed contraband and has historically been confiscated. Be prepared to abandon your 60-foot towers and have portable, ready-to-grab-and-go wire antennas and any supporting equipment that you need for that. You can even cache that equipment off-site. If you can, have two stations or multiple backup communications configurations. And consider keeping one off-site that you can retrieve or recover en route to somewhere else. In the coming weeks, I want to strongly encourage you to take EMP mitigation steps with regard to your ham gear, especially or any of your communications gear, especially if you only have one piece of particular equipment. You keep it EMP protected and take it out when you're using it and put it right back. It's a pain, but it'll be worth it. So a lot of crazy stuff coming. Develop or knock the rust off and maintain your radio direction finding skills. Hold fox hunt practical exercises. They're fun and they're useful. Brush up on your spot report skills. Download the form if you don't already have it. Practice filling them out while observing a road construction crew or whatever. Just practice and then practice sending them to each other. Black echo stations, rebroadcasting stations. You are going to be the place where the majority of the people are going to be able to tune in for truth, for hope, for encouragement, and information. Make sure that your black echo stations are portable. You can grab and go, and they're self-contained, self-sufficient units with battery power and solar backup and solar panels. I mean, fold up type, portable. You could put it on a four wheeler. You could put it on the trunk of a car. You could, whatever it takes, because that when that information shut down, and you also need to think portability. You transmit, you move. You set up, transmit, then you move. And from multiple different locations. Map out the routes and elevated locations that you can broadcast from in short segments. Test your equipment with the help of friends in various locations. Volunteer to be the fox with your local AMRON group who are doing radio direction finding skills. Be prepared to monitor every source possible for information and inform your community with truth and encouragement. Have self-contained stations and have portability, mobility, and redundancy. People will be depending on you for information. They'll be depending on all of us. Now, I put that email out. That's a portion of the email. That's the bulk of it that I wanted to share with you all. Then I had another listener that an AMRON operator that wanted to add a couple things to it. He says, I have a few things to add to your list, please. One, reduce probability of intercept. Make portable NVIS. Those of you who are ham operators, you know what NVIS is. Be sure they work on your most probable frequencies of interest. Make them quick, deployable, and recovery. So you can operate from field locations, and then as soon as you're done, recover your gear and get out. Two, never transmit from your permanent camp or location. Never make a pattern of where you transmit from on HF especially. Three, use the least amount of output power possible to keep good communications. Learn how to adjust the output power of your radio. That's an excellent piece of advice. Use directional beam antennas or wire rhombics to lower the probability of intercept on VHF. Likewise, use the lowest amount of power possible. He's talking about a beam antenna or wire rhombics. What that does is it concentrates your signal in one direction, and it puts very little, if any, off to the sides. So you can talk farther with the same amount of power, but it only talks in the direction that you have it pointed. So it's much more difficult to intercept that if your antenna is not pointed right at them. Use the other guy's resources when martial law is implemented. Use their repeaters and intrusion jamming techniques to keep them guessing. Number six, monitor. That means write down, listen for, and write down everything, even the least significant details. It may mean something later on. More to follow. Okay, blessings. Thank you from that AMRON operator who added that on. A lot of good information here. I could make this another hour, but I won't, because we have websites to post a lot of this stuff on. But I just want to talk to you guys about some of this stuff to really think about. All right. Okay. I'm going to wrap this up. This has been episode 14-11. I want you guys to all have a blessed week, and remember to pray for us. Pray for our leadership that are patriots, that have a lot of enemies of their own, trying to unseat them. And remember to pray for that God-fearing, liberty-minded leadership who are pursuing different positions within our government. They're trying to change things, and we want to pray for their success and pray for the protection of those who are already in positions of influence and representatives that are in elected positions. Does that make sense? Okay, good. Thank you so much for being there. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for all your support. God bless. This is John Jacob Schmidt, and you've been listening to Radio Free Redoubt. Good night.